If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us, please, over to the book of Thessalonians. Then stick your finger in the last chapter of the book of Galatians. Our text, we've kind of been in a series talking about the importance of the grace of God. Our text is found in 2 Thessalonians. And appreciate the Lord. He's always got something good for us. But it's been several weeks ago now that I saw this. It kind of jumped out at me in the scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible said, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." How many believes God wants us to have peace? Amen. He wants us to be at peace with him, and he wants us to be at peace with each other, and even as much as lieth in you, he wants us to live peaceably with all men. Amen. And then he said in verse 17, this is where the thought came from, "The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. I had never, until a few weeks back, really paid attention to how that Paul signs off every one of his epistles in the grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I immediately, when I've heard it said through the years that some say that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and some say we're not sure about that. And some have tried to present some evidence that he didn't write the book of Hebrews. As soon as God showed me that in that verse, the first thing I did was ran to the end of the book of Hebrews. And that salutation is right there in the end of the book of Hebrews. And in my heart, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Amen. And he signed it out the same way. We're going to Galatians tonight. We're talking about the importance of the grace of God. And what I'm doing tonight is going through the epistles of the Apostle Paul and looking at the last chapter where he gives us that salutation and looking at some things that magnify the importance of the grace of God in our lives. According to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, Paul said, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Then in verse 17, he said, "From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And then he said in verse 18, here comes the salutation again, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Would you teach us, our Father, something from your Word this evening? And help us, our Lord, that we might have strength for another day. Lord, if you give us another week, God, that we might have strength for another week. Lord, we pray you'd strengthen us tonight, Lord, in our spirit. Lord, strengthen us in our flesh, in our body, that we might, Lord, be able to do the things that you've asked us to do. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's run through this chapter tonight. I know some of you have been here for practice a long time now, since quarter after five this evening for the choir practice. So let's go through this tonight, and let me show you some things where God spoke to my heart about the importance of the grace of God. First of all, I want to look in these first few verses and look at the importance of the grace of God concerning our fellow believer. I believe, beloved, listen, it's very important our relationships one with another as Christians. The grace of God is very important. In verse number 1, he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," have you ever been overtaken in a fault? Or if maybe you live perfect your whole Christian life, amen? I doubt that, don't you? I guarantee you that, beloved, there have been times when the flesh has got the best of us, times when the fault got the best of us. Say amen. And the Bible said, if a man's overtaken in a fault, he said, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I'll tell you, beloved, it'd be good when we see the faults in somebody else, not to try to put them down. They're already down. Not to step on them, but to lend a hand. Try to help them up. Sometimes all they need is prayer, but sometimes they need an encouraging word. And sometimes what they need is a spirit-filled believer to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God will let us know what they need. God's aim is always at restoration. When a brother or a sister is overtaken in a fault, God's desire is that they be restored to that place of blessing, restored to that place of fellowship. I believe, as I've pastored these years, there's two extremes. And I think that in some churches, church discipline is never practiced. And I believe that's an extreme. I don't think that's right. I don't think it's scriptural. There comes a time when church discipline needs to be practiced. Amen. But the aim of church discipline is never to get somebody out. It's to get them restored. It's to get them back to that place of blessing, back to that place of fellowship with God and with man, with their brothers and sisters in Christ. So some never practice it, and then some practice it for the wrong reason, to get somebody out, just to drive them away. But in the middle, in the Bible, you can see that it needs to be practiced, but it needs to be done in a spiritual way. And when he says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, it'd be good to stop just a minute and realize it's the grace of God. I'm not doing what they're doing. It's the grace of God that it's not me, amen, being overtaken in the fall. And so we see the importance of the grace of God in our fellow believer. And not only in our fellow believer when he comes to a sinning brother in verse number 1, but if you look in verse number 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, when it comes to a burdened brother, we need the grace of God. Bear you one another's burdens. Let me say this tonight. Listen to me carefully right here. Listen, I thank God for his family. I thank God for people that pray. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's no flesh in that. My flesh could care less about you, and your flesh could care less about me. But beloved, it's he that lives in us that causes us to love one another, causes us to want to come alongside Brother Michael when somebody else is carrying a burden and help them, amen, carry that burden. That is not you and that is not me. Apart from the Lord Jesus, that's him that lives in us, amen, that gives us that desire to bear one another's burden. Some people going through life, they say, man, I got enough burdens of my own. I'll tell you where the joy comes from. You just look around. Somebody's carrying a burden a whole lot heavier than you're carrying, a whole lot heavier than I'm carrying. I was telling Brother Michael a while ago, he's had this speech problem since he's got COVID. I ran into a man that can't speak now. He can't hear, and he's had something called Bell palsy. It's stroke-like symptoms. I saw a picture of his face, and that doesn't mean that we don't care about Brother Michael, but I'm telling you, just have to look around the corner, and there's somebody a whole lot worse, amen, than we are. And I'll tell you one thing, listen to me carefully right here, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a whole lot of people in this world that have went through this mess alone. They don't have a pastor, they don't have a brother and sister in Christ, some of it's their own choosing, say amen, but some of it's not, amen, their family's gone, and their friends are gone, and they're alone in this world. So we see it when we're looking at the fellow believer and taken in sin or burdened. But then in verse number 6, there's another part here about our fellow believer and the importance of the grace of God. And that is, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So beloved, listen, the Bible is teaching us here, if you've been taught something, I've taught you this before, I believe. The reason that some Christians are not full of joy and they're not happy is because their life is like a Dead Sea. They have an inlet, but they don't have an outlet. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? If you'll look at the map, beloved, listen, that river runs into the Dead Sea, but there's no outlet. God did not intend for his children to have an inlet and not have an outlet. God wants us to share what we've been taught in the Word of God with others. Let him that is taught in the Word of God share with him or teach him that they might teach someone else. That's what it's all about. Amen. And so we see the importance of the grace of God in that teaching, brother. So we've looked at the fellow believer and the importance of the grace of God. In verse number 7, we're going to see the importance of the grace of God concerning the flesh. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible said, be not deceived. Can I say something to you tonight? There's a lot of people deceived. You say, what do you mean? They think God's not paying any attention. I believe our country's deceived right now. We think God's not paying any attention. We've passed laws and made sodomy legal. Amen. And we've passed laws and made gambling legal. We've passed laws and made drunkenness legal. We've passed laws and made killing the babies legal. I just read on my phone today a little alert come up. Somebody, an activist, is going to walk from Memphis to Johnson City because they're mad at the abortion laws in Tennessee. You know what I say, beloved? I say it's a baby. I say there is a choice, but that ought to be made before the baby's conceived. Say amen. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, I believe, listen, the Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We see the flesh here. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I believe, beloved, it's important tonight when you think about the flesh. We see in verse number 7, we see the importance of the grace of God in sowing to the flesh. It's the grace of God that will keep you from sowing to the flesh and reaping that corruption in the flesh. But I'll give you this tonight. I'm skipping around a little bit. I'll be back over there. But it's the grace of God also when it comes to suffering in the flesh. Look in verse number 11. The Bible said here, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. How many of you all are carrying Scofield Bibles? I know it's the King James Bible. You're carrying Scofield Bibles. Well, many of you are not. Look at the note with me in the Scofield Bible on 611. He said, with how large the letters, mine own hand. The apostle was, as it appears, from many considerations, afflicted with ophthalmia, a common disease in the East, to the point that almost a total blindness had set in. Ordinarily, therefore, he dictated his letters. You all understand that. Paul would have somebody else write it down. But now, having no one to write it down for him, and he's urged by the spiritual danger of these Galatians, he writes, we cannot know with what pain and difficulty, with his own hand, and how large the letters that he wrote, his darkened vision compelled him to use. I'm telling you, beloved, Paul, when he's penning this down, is suffering in the flesh. Jesus, when he called him to be beloved apostle to the Gentiles, he said, you're going to suffer. And I believe with all of my heart that he suffered like nobody can really think about. I'll share some things with you tonight. He said, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cause of Christ, or for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves are circumcised, keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to suffer in the flesh. I believe with all my heart it's important, beloved, to look at this tonight, because there's some people here that are suffering some things. We gathered around the altar and prayed for some people that are suffering. And I'm telling you, there's a lie being spread around the country that if you love God, you won't be sick and you won't suffer. That's a lie out of hell. Say amen. Somebody ain't read their Bible. Amen. For the Word of God said, and all them that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The book of Job tells us about a man that was righteous. He eschewed evil. Amen. He was not a man that just lived a haphazard Christian life. He loved God. He prayed for his children. And beloved, he suffered. But listen, the suffering is never to destroy us. Get that in your heart and in your mind. It's to develop us. If we're a child of God, God is helping us to be more like the one that suffered the most, that died on an old rugged cross and gave his life for us. Look in verse 17. From henceforth, Paul said, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I don't know why I never thought about this before. I've read it over and over. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for just a moment. Paul, you know, there were people that were trying to trouble him, even question his apostleship. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians, please, chapter number 11 with me for just a moment. In verse number 22, we'll start there. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? He said, I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. Watch this. In stripes above measure. I don't know why, Brother Don, but I never took the time to do the math. I've read this, and I never took the time. When Paul said that over there in the book of Galatians, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. How many's got a scar somewhere on your body? Where that you fell, or I have one over one of my eyes where my first cousin pushed me down the steps when I was little, and there was a furnace standing up beside the step. My head caught the furnace. Of course, they had to replace the furnace, even though, no, I'm just kidding. But it laid my eye wide open. I mean, I bled like a stuck hog, as they say. I can remember that as a child. I can remember how I got some of the scars. But let's look at this. He said here, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Now look at verse 24. Of the Jews, five times, do the math with me, received I 40 stripes, save one. Okay, five times 40 is 200. This is how I do it. I didn't get out a pen. And then I subtracted five. Because it happened five times. So he got 39 stripes five times. So you're looking at 139 stripes, Brother Larry, on this man's body. You've seen probably some of those old westerns. Amen. Where somebody, I think the last one I saw was Bonanza. Where the guy came into the ranch and when his shirt was torn, he had been beaten. How many's ever seen anything like that? And the scars were in his back. Well, I believe the Apostle Paul had scars. I believe the Apostle Paul had the stripes. He had the marks. Listen, beloved, listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be smart, but they didn't use a switch on him. It wasn't a switch like you'd take to the back of a young'un's legs, amen, this misbehaves. They beat him to a pulp, amen. And the Word of God, watch this now, that's not all. He said, of the Jews received I 40 stripes, save one. And then he says, thrice or three times, I was beaten with rods. I'm talking about a man that knew what it was to suffer. The Word of God said here, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robber, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. Look at verse 27. I'll touch on this in a minute. In weariness. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. Anybody that will tell you they don't get tired sometimes in the work of God's lying to you. This flesh, beloved, has a way of getting slapped, wore out. And we have to learn, amen. Brother Don gave me some good advice. And I'm trying my best to heed it. He said the other day, Pastor, you better learn to pace yourself. He said, take it from a young man. I think that's what he said, amen, something like that. Amen. You better learn to pace yourself. That reminded me, Brother Don, years ago, there's a young preacher got up preaching in a big way. And he made this statement. I'll tell you one thing, bless God. He said, I'd rather wear out than rust out. And he sat down alongside of somebody like Brother Don McCann. And the old preacher leaned over and whispered in his ear. He said, what you need to remember, son, either way, you're out. Beloved, mark this down. You, me, everybody that's involved in the work of God, old Slewfoot's doing his best. Get us out. One way or the other. Amen.
And we need to understand the grace of God when it comes to suffering. Amen. He can give us grace to make it through whatever we're going through. So we see the suffering in the flesh. Let me give you this thing here. I believe it. Just a couple more things here. We need the grace of God to keep the lights on. Did you do that, Brother Richard? How come the Lord just turned my lights out and nobody else's? Jim, did you do that? Amen. See there, all you got to do is have a little patience. Amen. I think I hear thunder. Do I hear thunder? Okay. Well, I didn't know if that was out there in my belly. I knew I heard something. Amen. I haven't eaten since on the way home today. I'm ready. Amen. I'll get you out of here in a few minutes. Watch this now. I want you to look at this concerning fainting. We need the grace of God. Look in verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'll ask you a question. It's personal. In your Christian life, you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever felt like just taking the towel and throwing it in the middle of the ring? Have you ever felt like, what's the use? I was talking to Sister Gwen and Sister Helen in their Sunday school room this morning. And we were talking about the fact that Isaiah and Jeremiah were called to preach a message and no one was going to listen. You think about that. Sometimes we get the mully grubs because there aren't more people getting saved. There aren't more people's lives being changed. But these men, they were called to preach a message. It was God's message to a people that were going to turn a deaf ear to the message. I'm glad through these years, some have listened. Some have got help. But I'm telling you, there are times when you just feel like giving up. You just feel like, what is the use? Let me tell you something I learned a long time ago. You better not go on your feelings. Your feelings will lead you in the wrong direction. Amen. We're to live by faith, not by feelings. Amen. And some of the times that I have felt like the biggest failure in the pulpit, I've learned God got the most done. And there's been other times when I felt like I hit a home run and nobody ever made it to first base. You know what I'm talking about, beloved. This old flesh will deceive you. Amen. Thank God we don't have to faint. Don't be weary in well-doing. David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Sometimes we just got to stop. We've just closed your eyes and look at Macy. Amen. Did you see her this morning? She's wanting that guitar. Did y'all see that? Honey, she's saying, scoot over. Mama, I'm going to help you play. Amen. She is wanting David's guitar this morning. Then she is looking over at Anthony. If I can't have that, then I'll take his. Just give me a guitar. I told Hannah a while ago, we got to balance this thing out. If Macy's going to be over there, they need to get Liam and put him on that side over there in the choir. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. He's been good to us. I'm going to tell you this. We ain't setting the woods on fire, and I know you know that. But God's been good to us. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. Churches through all this mess have dropped missionaries like flies. And we didn't have to drop a one. As a matter of fact, we took on missionaries. God's been good to us. We have His mercy. We have His love. We have His book. We have each other. And God has been good to us. Let's, beloved, don't faint. Don't faint on God. The last thing I'm looking at here is our faith. The Bible said, if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Look in verse number 10. You say, Pastor, what will faith cause you to do? Notice what the Bible said in verse 10. As you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. I didn't make a note in my Bible, and it's the grace of God, but God just reminded me to say something that He put in my heart when I read that verse. Thank you, ladies, for what you did for that church on Friday. I know that God put it in Pastor's heart. The pastor couldn't do it. Pastor and Miss Eve alone couldn't do it. And you ladies have set that bar full of food for that church. That's practicing that verse right there. That's saying, hey, you don't go the Bible way, but you're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love you. How many believes if God would let Brother Ed look down, he was thankful, and he was proud of that. Say amen. That the family at Rock Springs could gather around the table and have a meal together. I believe he was too. So that's an evidence of our faith. Then the Bible said here in verse number 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Beloved, people that are living in faith, they don't want to talk about themselves. They want to talk about the cross. They want people to understand. I had an aunt one time, and she was bragging, telling everybody what a good boy I was. I said, honey, that only proves one thing. She said, what's that? Don't say it. She called me Ricky. She said, what's that, Ricky? I said, you didn't know me. Honey, I was meaner than a striped snake. Amen. Some people are mean and it's open. Other people are mean and it's closet. Say amen. I shouldn't have said that word with mean. But anyway, it's hidden. Amen. It's hidden. And you don't see it, but God knows. God knows. God knows the night I met him, to quote Brother Danny Sykes, I was good at sinning, but he was better at saving than I was at sinning. Amen. What a Savior we have. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in Christ Jesus, verse 15, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Here's the Galatian church. They've got the Judaizers trying to pull them back under the law. And Paul is letting us know it's the grace of God that we can serve him in faith. It's not about circumcision. It's about the cross. It's about the Christ. It's about the crucified one. The Lord Jesus, amen, that gave his life for you and for me. So he said, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. By the grace of God, youngins, we can hang in there till he comes. Till he either comes for us individually or he comes for us as a body. Because God's people are going home. One way or the other. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Listen, let God magnify his grace in your heart and in your life. His mercy, the word of God said, is new every morning. Amen. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.